This is The Invisible War with evangelist and author Dr. Rob Randall. There is a bigger battle going on in the world right now than we can even see. A battle that has existed since the beginning of time. This is not a war between countries, but an all-out assault on the very soul of people everywhere. Lives are being defeated and destroyed. Marriages are falling apart at an unprecedented rate. Children are rebelling against everything they've been taught. Addictions are rampant to everything you can think of. And all of this is the result of a spiritual war, which is the invisible war. And yet, there is hope. Rob Randall is a third-generation evangelist who has devoted his life to seeing people who have come to the end of themselves find a true life of promise and healing. The Invisible War is a journey that will lead us on the road to freedom and the path of fulfillment. There are no quick fixes, only a process, but it begins with the first step. So here's Rob Randall to take us through this journey one step at a time as we find hope in the Invisible War. Hello, this is Kevin Harris, and you're listening to the weekly radio program, The Invisible War. Now, today we have a special program. We want you to pay close attention to the subject matter. So much of what we've been talking about leads to today. That is the subject of revival and spiritual warfare. We have in the studio with us again, Dr. Rob Randall, our host and teacher of the Invisible War program. Dr. Randall's teaching is taken each week from his book by the same title, The Invisible War, Living in Victory Over the Enemy, published by 21st Century Press. You will want to get this valuable Bible-based study on spiritual warfare by going to our website, theinvisiblewar.org, or you can order your copy of The Invisible War at your local Christian bookstore. Now, if you've missed any of Dr. Randall's teaching on spiritual warfare, you can go to our website, click on the broadcast button, and download any and all programs of the Invisible War Radio Ministry for free. Dr. Randall, good to have you in the studio. We want to pick up where we were last time. We were talking about the importance of revival when it comes to spiritual warfare. We don't often tie those two together. So, again, reiterate, kind of review for us the importance of revival when it comes to spiritual warfare.
All spiritual warfare is ultimately tied to revival. The enemy fears nothing more than a genuine revival of Holy Spirit fire. Think of it. Everything that the enemy has stolen can be restored through revival. He hates revival. He despises the thought of revival. Revival is his greatest fear. So we come to this session today to continue to talk about the most important thing I believe we need to talk about concerning the church, and that is revival. We desperately need the times of cleansing that only the Holy Spirit brings when we confess our sin and repent from our wickedness.
Well, help us understand, Dr. Randall, how each of us as believers are related to this movement of God we call revival.
Kevin, we are the church. You and I are the church. We are the called out ones of God. We are the body of Christ. We have been baptized as believers into the body of Christ. You and I are His body. I am the body of Christ, 1 Corinthians 12:27. You and I are either a catalyst for revival or we are a hindrance to revival. The battle for revival and spiritual awakening always begins in a time of personal, desperate prayer. You see, there is no corporate revival until there is individual revival. I believe that our country is being judged of God because the church has turned away from obeying God. Through the places of compromise and accommodation to what the Bible calls the vain philosophies of the world, the church has ceased to be an instrument by which our Lord is able to bring His will on earth as it is in heaven. Many of our churches are spiritually sick because we as believers are spiritually sick. Revival comes from our Heavenly Father when we repent of our sin and turn back to Him in obedience. The good news, Kevin, is God is merciful. His hand of mercy is brand new every day. And if we are to ever have revival in our land, in our country, we must first have revival in our homes, in the secret places, and in our hearts.
Dr. Randall, if a revival is going to be a genuine revival, it must be empowered by the Holy Spirit. It must be Holy Spirit given. So talk to us. What is the progression of genuine Holy Spirit revival?
I refer us back to 2 Chronicles 7:13 and 14. God's word said, "If I shut up heaven that there be no rain, if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray, seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land." Genuine revival always begins with unusual, extraordinary prayer, not just a prayer meeting, but travailing before God, calling upon to do what we come to understand we cannot do. He is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask or think, but we must ask of Him. You have not, cause you ask not. Pray, continue to pray, stay in prayer, travail, ask and plead, knock and keep on knocking. Revival always begins in a prayer meeting, but it is an unusual, extraordinary prayer meeting. After prayer, there's always conviction and confession of sin, public humiliation, if you please, repentance, a time of humbling ourselves. You know, God doesn't humble us. I want to say that again. I've met many men on death row who are very arrogant. You would think their circumstance would have humbled them. Not at all. You're in charge of your heart, not the Lord. You're free whether or not to humble yourself or not. There needs to be conviction and confession of sin, a humiliation before the Lord. Humble yourself and turn from your wicked ways. Repent means to turn. Change the way you've been thinking and turn back to God. And then the fire of God falls, a visitation of the presence and power of Jesus Christ as Lord. The transforming of lives and the land by the power of Almighty God. Then there's much fruit produced for God's glory. He comes and saves the lost. He heals the sick and He delivers those in captivity. Luke 4:18-19.
Well, Dr. Randall, we know from the historical record that whenever Jesus came to town, that things happened. And obviously we want Him to be the focus of our revival. So what should happen? What kind of things happen when Jesus comes to town?
In Matthew 21, verse 12, turn there with me. We see what happens when Jesus Christ comes. Listen to these words. Jesus went into the temple of God and cast out all them that sold and bought in the temple and overthrew the table of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves and said to them, "It is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves." And the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. And when the chief priests and scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying in the temple and saying, "Hosanna to the Son of David," they were sore displeased. And he said unto him, "Hear you what these say." And Jesus said unto them, "Yes, have you never read out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, thou hast perfected praise?" When Jesus comes, Kevin, number one, he cleanses the temple. Judgment always begins in the house of God. Always. That's why so many of our churches today don't want revival. We don't want to be cleansed. Revival can't take place until the cleansing takes place first. And then the Lord, after He cleanses the temple, He performs that which we cannot do. He performs what the Bible calls signs and wonders. Theumasios, wonderful things. Things that cause wonder. People are saved. People are delivered. And people are healed. No man saves anyone. No man delivers and casts out demons. And no one heals the sick. Only the Lord Jesus does these things. And when He comes to do these things, He is glorified. It is His work and his work alone. And then the temple is cleansed. He comes to do his signs and wonders. People are saved, healed, and delivered. And then the true worship of God follows. It's interesting to me that our churches want us to worship God without any signs and wonders. Doesn't make sense. It is a cheap imitation of the real thing. Without revival, without the cleansing of our hearts, allowing the Lord to do what only God can do, true worship never takes place. Worship is always a reaction to what God has done.
Dr. Randall, talk to us about what a spiritually healthy New Testament church looks like.
You know, Kevin, when our Lord is moving in and through his church, it always looks like the book of Acts. Whatever the age, whatever the culture, whatever the time, it always looks like the book of Acts. Remember, the book of Acts is not the Acts of the Apostles. It is the Acts of the Holy Spirit. And that same Holy Spirit dwells within each of our lives as believers. In Acts 5:12-16, listen to these words. And by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people, and they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. And of the rest durst no man join himself to them, but the people magnified them. And believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes, both of men and women, insomuch that they brought forth the sick into the streets, and laid them on beds and couches, that at the least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them. There came also a multitude out of the cities round about unto Jerusalem, bringing sick folks, and them which were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed every one. Notice here, a spiritually healthy New Testament church looks like a place where the manifestation of the power of God is welcomed and expected. Signs and wonders, deliverance, healings. 1 Corinthians 4:20. Listen to the word of God today. For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. We are to worship the Lord, not just in truth, but in spirit and in truth. Most of our churches are simply word-based churches. That's wonderful. But without the breath of the Spirit of God, words only bring death, not life. The kingdom of God is not simply in word, but in power. A New Testament church that is healthy is a people reflecting their master's heart. Jesus was a friend of sinners. He mingled with sinners, verse 12 and verse 13. And a New Testament church that is healthy, walking, living, being used as an instrument of the Spirit of God, is a people living in the grace and forgiveness of Calvary. It's not a place where people are pointing fingers at each other. It's not a place of condemnation. It's not a place of ridicule. It's a place of grace and forgiveness. You've heard it said, the church is not a showcase of saints. It's a hospital for sinners. And the world knows, all of us know that we're a mess and we need a Savior. We need help. The church needs to recognize that Christ and Christ alone is our only hope. Not the church, not each other, not the pastor. It is Christ alone where we find our forgiveness. And we find that only through the shed blood of Calvary. And a New Testament church that is healthy, being used of the Spirit of God, is a place of unity in the Spirit. Not unity in getting along just with each other, that we find some compromise so we can get along. No, it's unity in the Spirit of Almighty God. Verse 12. And a spiritually healthy church, being used of the Spirit of God to bring His will on earth as it is in heaven, is a people committed to the purposes of Christ. Evangelism. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. Luke 19:10. And we proclaim Him, admonishing every man and teaching every man with all wisdom, that we might present every man complete in Christ. A spiritually healthy church is a church after souls. It's a church after the lost. The church that is prioritized in it everything that it does in reaching a lost world to Christ.
Well, Dr. Randall, I think we can really see then the connection between spiritual warfare and revival, because I can truly see why the devil would be working overtime to keep the church from experiencing a genuine time of cleansing and revival.
Let me ask you, Kevin, how well is he doing?
Well, I hate to say it, but I think he's doing a pretty good job.
He's had thousands of years to perfect his craft, and he knows that if revival breaks out in your family or my family, in the body of Christ, in your church and my church, that he's in real trouble. Kevin, everything we do as the Church of the Living God, if it is to be fruitful, must have the times of cleansing and refreshing that only God can bring. Without the rain, there is no harvest. That's what genuine revival is, a time of personal cleansing. There is nothing Satan hates worse than the possibility that the body of Christ would be cleansed through a time of spiritual revival and so empowered by Holy Spirit that God's will would be done through him as it is in the heart of our Heavenly Father. The devil and all of his demons hate revival more than anything. Their evil strategy is to make certain revival never breaks out. And may I say, I have found in traveling through our land and in my experience as an evangelist, I have found it interesting that wherever revival has broken out anywhere in our world before, a church, a town, a community, a school, a country, a family, the devil is watching closely to make certain that that well is never dug again. In that place, he's put his minions carefully to watch that place to make certain revival never happens again there.
Well, Dr. Randall, does the Bible help us understand how the enemy is able to keep us from personal cleansing and revival?
It really does, Kevin. The Bible teaches that there is a hindrance of blindness. The enemy is able to blind folks. 2 Corinthians 4:4. The word is etuflosen. It means a smoke or a fog. You ever been in an old thick fog where you could not even see in front of your headlights? The enemy is able to hinder the preaching of the power of Almighty God through putting people in a fog. And you and I as believers must ask the Lord. We must work with him to remove this hindrance so that when people hear the word of God, they'll be able to receive the word of God in their hearts. There's a hindrance of stealing the work of God through misunderstanding in Matthew 13, verse 19. There's a hindrance of inflicting the body. Demons can cause dumbness. Matthew 9, 32 through 33. Demons can cause blindness, Matthew 12, verse 22. Demons can cause insanity, Luke 8, 26 through 35. Demons can cause suicide and suicidal thoughts, Mark 9, verse 22. Demons can cause personal injuries, Mark 9, verse 18. Demons can impart supernatural strength, Luke 8, verse 29. Demons can inflict physical defects and deformities, Luke 13, verse 11 through 17. The enemy has many tricks in his bag of evil against us so that we will never, ever turn our hearts toward the Lord. You know, it's interesting to note, though, every attack of the enemy is an opportunity for us to trust the one who is greater than the attack, the one who is greater, the one who is able to cleanse us from all of these inflictions. It is our blessed Lord Jesus. And of course, there's the hindrance of diversion. You know, if the enemy can get us to accept that which is good instead of that which is best, he will have won. The Lord wants the best for us. He wants us to trust him, to see his will done, not just something that is acceptable, but that which is supernatural. And the enemy wants to divert us just a little bit off of God's will. He will have won. The hindrance of discouragement. Oh, my, my, my. How easy it is to be discouraged. My father used to say in revival meetings that one of the tricks of the enemy is to get us to look at what is not happening instead of that which is happening. It's easy for us to be discouraged because we have such high expectations many times. And those expectations are even beyond what God has for us. And that brings discouragement. Then there's the hindrance of division and isolation. You see Elijah, one of the great examples of faith and righteousness in the Bible. He was isolated. And when the enemy got him isolated, he was most vulnerable. Listen to me today. If you feel isolated and alone, I want you to know the enemy is at work in your life. Division and separation is not of the Lord. He wants you to know that He is faithful. He that watches over Israel never slumbers nor sleep. He says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. He is with you today. Do not believe the enemy's lies that you are now alone. If you are saved, you have never been alone. If you had ever been alone, you would be dead. The Lord loves you, and that's why you live today.
Well, Dr. Randall, it seems that just about the time we're really getting going here, that our time runs out, so we need to pick this up next time on The Invisible War. I want to remind you that if you've missed any program of Dr. Randall's teaching on spiritual warfare, you can download for free any program or all the programs in the series of The Invisible War by going to our website, theinvisiblewar.org. That's theinvisiblewar.org. And if you believe in the importance and timeliness of this message, your faithfully standing with us each week helps us bring the invisible war. Thank you for joining with us in prayer and financially as we take this life-changing truth to the many hurting and wounded. Thank you so much for your financial support for the invisible war. Please give as generous a gift as our Lord would lead you to give to this most important ministry of healing and cleansing. You can give your gift online. Go to our website, theinvisiblewar.org, or call us toll-free 1-877-808-8886. That's 1-877-808-8886. And we really look forward to hearing from you. Thank you so much. Dr. Randall, you've given us a lot of great information, and we want to absorb it and digest it and take it to heart. Would you pray that we do that and pray for us as we close out our program today?
For those you who feel lonely today, would you give me the privilege of praying for you? Would you pray with me right where you are? Would you just pray this prayer after me? Words are not magic. God knows our hearts. We're not trying to make you do anything you don't feel led to do. But would you pray these words with me? Lord Jesus, thank you for dying for me. I know that you love me because you died for me. Lord, come into my life. Forgive me of my sin. I receive you as my Savior and my Lord. And for those of us who know we are saved, there was that time when we gave our hearts to the Lord. Would you pray this prayer with me? Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me. Lord, forgive me for forgetting your love and your faithfulness. I receive your love anew and afresh today. Thank you for never leaving me nor forsaking me. Lord, I humble myself before you. I ask that you would take my life and honor your name. Honor your name in me and through me. Lord, do what I cannot do. I've made a mess of things, and I ask you now, Lord, do the greatest work in my life for your greatest glory. I pray it in Jesus Christ, my Savior's mighty, wonderful name. Amen and amen. Now, if you've prayed with me today, I want to hear from you. Would you contact me? I know these are private matters, but I would love to know better how to pray for you. Email us. Go to the website, theinvisiblewar.org, theinvisiblewar.org. There's a place there where you can email me with your prayer request, or you can call me at 1-877-808-8886. 1-877-808-8886. We look forward to hearing from you. Thank you for the privilege that is ours today to bring the invisible war. Thank you for standing with us. Thank you for praying for us. And thank you for the sweet privilege of sharing this holy time with you. Remember, it was for freedom Christ came to set us free. Don't settle for anything less than the freedom Christ bought for you on Calvary. We look forward to next week when we join together again around the heavenly things of God. Thank you for listening. Thank you for supporting the Invisible War.
This has been the weekly radio program called The Invisible War with Rob Randall. You don't have to live defeated, heartbroken, or in bondage to anything. Give everything you are to everything He is, and you will begin to see your life transformed into the life He has made you to be, for your sake and for everyone around you. Remember to check out theinvisiblewar.org for resources, podcasts, information, and just a place to let us know how to pray for you. We'll see you next time on The Invisible War.